Under the Scope.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Under the Scope. That's Carrie. I'm Jared. No Shane this time. Carrie is sitting in. We're just fresh out of a screening of the latest M. Night Shyamalan film, The Visit. And this doesn't come out until September 11th, so we're a couple weeks ahead of the game here. Hey, why don't you give him a quick little plot summary?
What?
I just want to get you involved. All right, I'll do
you
it.
You do it.
All right, so as mentioned, this is an M. Night Shyamalan joint, written and directed by him. I believe his last film, After Earth, was a spectacular piece of garbage. But this one is his own writing. It's not based off of any adapted works or anything like that. And it goes kind of back into the genre of films that he's more known for, more of the thriller-slash-horror variety. As you know, The Sixth Sense, you've got that. You've got The Village. You've got... what else is in that vein? Signs, The Happening.
Oh, yeah, Signs.
I never saw The Happening. I hear it's a hot mess. But
Whatever in the Water... Is that him?
Lady in the Water, yeah. Not quite in this style, but definitely
no,
his
different.
Film. This stars probably the only person you maybe know in this film is Catherine Hahn, as sort of the mother of two teenage children. Who, she left home at 19, hasn't been back since, 15 years. But her grandparents invited her, is that how it went? There was a reason for her to go and visit them in their old podunk town.
Parents just wanted to meet her, the grandparents.
Right, that's it. But she didn't want to go, but her kids wanted to go. So she sends the kids on the train on their own to go visit the grandparents off in whatever the town is.
Pennsylvania?
Somewhere in Pennsylvania. It's a remote town. Cell coverage is minimal. Apparently they have... internet, which was came as sort of a shock to me.
Yeah.
Not only that, they had the house wired up with Ethernet. another interesting choice. Wouldn't expect old people to have that sort of capabilities in their old farmhouse, but hey, we're going to have to roll with it. I should also mention, this is a found footage film. If you're, this is a sort of genre started by the Blair Witch Project, or, you know, made famous by. I don't know if it was started by it. I think our most recent entry into that we saw on this show is Project Almanac last year. So as you know, the story is told completely through point of view cameras that are the characters are actually using themselves. So you may or may not like that type of film. If you don't like that type of film, you might as well not even bother buying a ticket to this film because the entire film is that way. And due to that conceit, you have to sort of accept that these characters are going to, you know, handle a camera when sensible people probably would have put it away and run for their lives.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have a movie.
Right. Anyway, so the kids are going there for, what, roughly a week. They're going to stay with Nana and Pop-Pop. Not sure where those names come from. Those are sort of weird names, but nonetheless, that's what we call them. On their farm, and things are a little off. Nana and Pop-Pop are, they're older, and a lot of this is sort of chalked up to them just being older and having their bodies are sort of, you know, not what they used to be, and their mental state might not be what they used to be, but, you know, initially it just seems like, you know, old people stuff, but eventually things start to add up to being kind of weird. We're not sure, things are happening at night. Everyone goes to bed at 9:30. The kids are not supposed to leave their room. And there's noises in the house. There's weird goings-on around the farm. So, you know, things are eerie and strange and a little bizarre. And thus our story ensues. And obviously there's going to be some sort of carnage. It is a horror movie, so you have to kind of expect that sort of stuff to happen. So, our two lead kids, Becca and Tyler... are sort of affected in a way. Yeah. She is a documentary... She fancies herself a documentary filmmaker and a student of cinema overall. He fancies himself a freestyle rapper. What was his nickname?
I can't remember.
T-Diamond something, I think, was what he called himself.
Yeah.
Anyway. that's who we're dealing with. That's who we're dealing with. That's our story of the visit. So, now let's get into what we thought of the film. And you didn't want to go first, so no, I guess I'm going to start giving my thoughts first. Number one, the first act I was really kind of put off by the sort of affectedness of our two lead actors, the characterization of them.
Yeah.
She's a filmmaker, but she's so into it that she's just sort of, I don't know. I mean, it was like she's quoting film terms and being really, really, I don't know, what's the word, auteurish about this whole process, and it was just sort of weird. I don't know.
They're weird kids.
And he's, you know, the freestyle rapper guy, and I just found that whole aspect to his character really annoying. Other people in the audience laughed a lot at it, but
it was all right.
I didn't care for it. I just thought it was uncomfortable and weird, and
like a 13-year-old kid.
Maybe that's it.
Uncomfortable and weird.
Maybe that's it. And maybe, I don't know. But I found those parts distracting and sort of overwrought, overdone. But I think once we start kind of getting into the meat of the story and things start humming, I think the film starts to do some really good stuff. Again, this is a found footage film, so if you're going to have to just accept that the camera is going to be conveniently, either conveniently positioned to catch what we need to catch, or conveniently shaky to not catch what we don't want to see.
Right.
So that's just sort of the style of filmmaking, so you kind of have to roll with it, I think.
Yeah.
I think if you sort of try to put too much of, too much reality into it, then you're going to start picking apart this thing, like, oh, the camera would never really be that well, or, you know, you're not going to get this kind of image from these cameras, or, you know, really, you're getting chased, put the camera down, what are you doing, you're crazy. You found footage films, you just have to go with it. Yeah. So, I thought the performances from the two elderly grandparent characters were actually really good.
Yeah.
And quite nuanced. At times, especially the female lead, Nana.
Nana's creepy.
She is very creepy. Yeah. She's got an issue that happens when it gets dark. What is it called? Sundowning?
Sundowning?
It's sort of like a dementia state where she's sort of she's not herself anymore. It's affected by darkness.
Yes.
Is that real? I don't know. I think it might be. I noticed that it sort of took effect in the when they were underneath the porch or whatever, doing the whole hide and seek game.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as she came into the sunlight, she was fine. But when she was in the dark, she was a little creepy.
It's darkness.
Mm-hmm. And I think the kids, once they were playing, when they were not being these super affected, weird teenager types, they were being more human.
Yeah.
I thought they were actually really good.
Yeah, they were way better, like, toward the end.
Right. Every once in a while, and I'm assuming this was Shyamalan's doing, M. Night's doing, with the script or the directing, they would sort of lapse into their affected character parts when I just was like, oh, this is the time for that. It didn't feel right.
I think they were trying to throw a little humor in
a
it.
Little,
there's a lot of humor.
Yeah, I felt like they tried to went for the comic relief part too much at a time, but by the time we hit the third act, that stuff's out the window, unless it's sort of like a nervous tension, like, I really don't know how to respond to the situation, so I'm just going to be a goofball.
Yeah.
And then it felt appropriate and uneasy, and I think that was the intent, and I think it was successful there. But overall, I thanks for just pulling out into the road, sir. I felt like this film actually really, really succeeded in creating the tension and the paranoia and really getting you to feel like you're in the moment and potentially scared. I was actually, the third act, I was really, really tense the whole time, so.
Yes.
Bravo on that.
Made me nervous.
Yeah, so do you have any comments to add to that?
I liked it.
Yeah?
And I liked, I mean, it's creepy and suspenseful, but then there's a lot of, funny stuff that's just, creepy funny. Like, they...
Right.
Grandparents, basically.
Yes.
It's funny.
I don't feel like, the film was as funny as some of the audience members thought it was. Especially the guy behind us who was laughing like crazy.
Right. He was very into it.
And it's got some horror movie tropes where you know, there are things that the characters do where you're just like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Why are you going in that place? Why are you doing that? Stop.
Stupid
don't look away.
Stuff. Yeah.
Is this your street?
I can't tell because there's light shining on me.
Stupid. I think
yes.
so. Ha ha! We're on the road, folks.
Yeah.
But you know what? Overall, there's sort of a maxim that we have on this program, and that is, does a film's positive attributes outweigh its negative attributes? And for me, The Visit does.
I think it does, too.
And I think that I hesitate to say it's a return to form for M. Night Shyamalan. Because I don't know that it's... maybe it is. I mean...
It's hard to say.
I just think it's a successful... film. Actually, we're one block over. So
we don't know where we're going in Richfield.
No, nope, we're driving. We're talking.
Where?
What do we got? Yeah, I'm gonna cover this way.
Oh.
But I think it's definitely a successful film, just regardless of whether or not it's a successful M. Night Shyamalan film. And so that's good.
Yeah,
the fact that he's making a great film that I think a lot of audiences are gonna like, I'm happy about, because I was a big fan of his work early on. The Sixth Sense was great. I thought Unbreakable was great. Sorry, I got the name wrong.
I hated that movie, by the way.
I know. I'm hoping they make a sequel.
Shane liked it.
But there's a lot of his stuff that I liked. Signs, for the most part.
Signs.
I think it's got some
village,
flaws
too.
To it, and I think that overall, M. Night's scripting is maybe his biggest problem. I think his directing is just fine.
I love when they have a good Yahtzee scene.
Yes, they did have a Yahtzee scene.
It's a
Yahtzee
scene.
For all you fans of the show, you know that Shane is a big Yahtzee guy. So
that was entertaining.
Well, we're here. We're about to pull into the driveway.
Yay.
I think we should probably pause and give this thing
a
score.
God, I hate the number thing.
Well, thanks for holding for edit. Let's give this thing a score.
The soap score is 3 1/4 stars.
So 3 1/4 stars. You heard Tony say it. We were unanimous in our vote. So that is, 3 is a B, so it's a B+.
Yeah.
It's a B+.
Which is not bad.
Not bad at all.
Your parents wouldn't ground you
for a B+. Not bad at all for no, they wouldn't.
So it's okay.
Yeah. I got a lot of B+. Anyway, that is M. Night Shyamalan's The Visit in theaters September 11th.
Yep.
Everywhere. I think it's probably rated R.
Is it?
I don't know. Maybe it's PG-13.
It might be PG-13.
Who knows? We don't care. We're adults. We see what we want.
That's right. No one cares.
Carrie, tell them how they can get in touch with the show.
Scopeshow.com?
Yeah, that's a good start. You can also like, comment, and subscribe down below.
That's right.
Thanks for tuning in. We've got more movies on the way. We're out of the summer season.
Into the fall.
Boy, there
season.
Were a lot of films we sort of skipped here in August because they just weren't that interesting to us. But I'm sure September, starting to get some more stuff. And obviously towards the rest of the year, we've got some big films. Big blockbusters and big important films that the Academy will have you itching to see by award season. So, thanks for tuning in, and stay Shane, as Shane would say, bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment, and Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.